British Sky Broadcasting, Metro Golden Mare, Dimension Films, Platinum Dunes and Radar Pictures present The Amityville Horror, based on the true story. Directed by Andrew Douglas, starring Ryan Reynolds and Melissa George as George and Kathy Lutz. Jesse James, Jimmy Bennett and Chloe Moretz as their children Billy, Michael and Chelsea. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency. A young family move into an idyllic new home, but the house has a dark secret that drives men to murder, and it's all based on fact. November the 13th, 1974. A bearded man's face, his eyes are shut. His eyes open. A TV screen is reflected in them. There is a diagram on the screen of an Indian inside a cross. A clock reads 3:15. He looks at it. Lightning flashes. A book on the table. Evil is proof of God. He sits on a bed with a rifle across his lap. He loads the rifle. There is a photo of him in graduation robes. He stands up. He goes upstairs. He stands at a window staring out at a boat shed. The doors are banging in the storm. Lightning flashes constantly. Still carrying the rifle, he goes up another flight of stairs and into a bedroom where a couple lie sleeping in bed. He cocks the rifle. He shoots them in the head. A little girl sits up in bed. He walks out of the bedroom. The girl holds her black and white teddy. He pulls the bedclothes over another child's head and fires. There is blood spattered on the wall. The little girl hides in a cupboard, squatting, holding her teddy. The man comes into her room, looks around and spots the light under the cupboard door. He walks over to the cupboard and slowly opens the door. She looks up at him.
What's wrong, Ronnie?
I love you, Jody.
He takes aim and fires. A view of the house, the sign High Hopes. The top floor lights go out.
Members of the family were found last night in bed, shot and killed.
Killed were car dealer Ronald DeFeo, his wife and four of their children. The sole survivor of the family, 23-year-old Ronald Butch DeFeo Jr., is said to have discovered the bodies. Police state that for his own safety, they're holding him in protective custody.
Five of the victims were found shot face down on their beds. A sixth was found in the closet. Strange.
Suffolk County police have charged 23-year-old Ronald DeFeo Jr. The accused told police he heard voices coming from within the house telling him to murder his family.
Deer Park, Long Island, 1 year later. A house on a suburban street. A red truck parked outside. A pretty blonde woman, Kathy, leans over a bearded man, George, in bed.
Oh, God! Damn it! Oh.
They roll over, kissing and cuddling. George looks up. A little boy, Michael, in a diving mask, stares at them.
Hey, Michael.
Well, hey, baby, you okay?
George, what are you doing to my mom?
Nothing.
Yet, you curve.
Kathy gets out of bed and goes over to her son and kisses him.
Come on up here, little man.
Michael takes off his mask and goes over to the bed.
You can make it. Gah! Oh, you're getting heavy.
Michael looks at a family photo on the bedside table.
Did you meet my dad?
No. Never had the pleasure, pal.
Do I have to call you Dad now?
Guess what?
What?
You can call me whatever you want.
Anything?
Yep.
Cool.
Anything.
Cool!
Yeah.
Stinky?
Sure.
Boopy head?
Yeah.
Crap monkey fart?
Okay, we gotta draw the line somewhere, pal. That does it.
George lifts a pan of eggs from the stove. George and Kathy kiss. He serves the egg to a sulky boy, Billy, and his sister, Chelsea.
This sucks.
You're not kidding.
Billy.
Look, maybe we'll grab you something on the way to school. What do you say, huh?
I'm not hungry. Then I can walk to school.
No, you can't. You can get your feet off the chair.
Hey, look, I could drop you off a couple blocks away. Nobody'd see.
Mom, I'm 12 years old.
Well, before you plan your retirement party, we're going to drop you off at school. Hmm? We got a big day.
Why? Where are you guys going? Mom, can you help
me?
George winks knowingly at Chelsea. He is driving with Kathy.
Houses here are way out of our price range, Kathy.
Not according to this.
Well, then it's gotta be true.
Think positive, Billy.
Positive? That houses here are out of our price range? Look, when the business is going good,
Bill,
you're gonna... What?
That's it. Look,
honey.
Baby, look. 412 Ocean Avenue.
He looks down at the newspaper and over at the house amongst the trees.
It's beautiful.
What?
They pull into the drive past the house number 412. It's a huge, three-story, white, weatherboard house. The estate agent stands in front, waving. Kathy looks out from the truck, smiling broadly.
Look how friendly they are here, honey.
Get like that when they think they're gonna make a sale. Let's just play it cool, Kathy. Catherine.
Kathy jumps out. The estate agent nervously taps her fingers on her bag.
Hi there.
I'm Kathy.
Well, just call me Edith.
This is your husband, George.
Oh, this is an amazing house. You are going to love it. Just follow me in here.
The front of the house has two top windows shaped like the quarters of a circle. They enter the hall, dark and wood-panelled. They look up the imposing wooden staircase.
Holy shit. Excuse me.
Let me show you the rest of the house.
This is a mistake.
How's that?
Well, no, I mean, your ad in the paper. This is, it's gotta be a misprint, because, like, I'm a contractor, and I know what a place like this should cost, and, you know, if this is true, then this is a deal of a lifetime.
And what is wrong with that? Come on. I love it.
A black metal grill.
There's a vibrant history here.
Vibrant history.
The house was built in 1692, at least the basement. The rest of the house was added from that foundation. It's one of the oldest Dutch colonials in Long Island.
Wow, that's impressive.
This room would be perfect for children, if you have any. And the views. Well, have a look for yourselves.
They look out from an upstairs window.
There's a boathouse.
Oh, all you need now is a boat, right?
Actually, George has a speedboat.
Well, this place sounds like it's made for you.
The agent looks over her shoulder. A shadow moves on a wall. George stares at the boathouse.
And this is your basement. As you can see, it's very spacious. It can be a game room, a playroom.
Let's have a look.
George and Kathy go down. The agent looks on anxiously.
I'll just wait up here.
Looks like a basement.
So, what do you guys think?
I think you look foxy in that skirt.
Stop it. Come on.
Kathy goes back up. George picks up a radio clock which says 3:15. He throws it down and goes up.
Yes, okay. It's a value.
It's a value for people with money, okay? Look, if we do this, we are going to be eating drywall for a year.
We deserve this, George.
Little savings we
have. You deserve this. Look, how many times you tell me how hard you work for so little.
Kathy,
maybe today's the day it all pays off. We'll make sacrifices.
Huge sacrifices.
Yeah, I understand that. Listen, honey, this is the life we want.
George looks around. The agent nervously plays with her wedding ring in the kitchen. Kathy leaps into George's arms. The agent stands in the doorway, looking at them hopefully.
Happy? Yes, we're happy.
She's happy. I'm broke. Hold on. So, look, I gotta ask. What's the catch? There's always a catch.
There was a tragedy, a crime, a murder.
I'm sorry, what?
In the house?
Several people, a family. But, you know, we've moved on. The whole town, it is a distant memory now. And the house is fine. Really.
Doesn't it seem kind of strange to buy this house, honey?
Well, houses don't kill people. People kill people. Excuse us.
You think we can make it work?
You know what? You want it, and we're gonna make it work.
Really?
I'll work out of the basement, and you can, well, sell one of the kids.
Hey.
A little one.
Day one. They pull up in the red truck outside the house. It says Lutz Construction on the truck door. Kathy gets out and picks up Chelsea. Michael runs ahead.
We're rich! We're rich!
Rich in something, but it ain't money.
Hey! Wait!
George runs after Michael. A family cine film on moving day. Billy, Michael, and their dog run towards the camera. Billy smiles and waves. Chelsea holds a bunch of balloons. George carries Michael. They unload a furniture van. The boys splash in the water. The dog barks at the boathouse. Kathy dances for the camera, swiveling her hips. The house lit up at night. George is in the basement. Kathy is in the boys' bedroom.
Say your prayers?
Yep, said them twice.
What'd you pray for?
If I tell you, it won't come true, Mommy.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell them the truth?
What?
Praying doesn't do any good.
Lillian?
Nobody answered me when I asked for Dad to be kept alive.
Billy turns his back on his mother.
Don't say that.
She sits on his bed and pats his arm.
Sometimes things happen in life that can't be explained, Billy.
George is eavesdropping on the landing.
Billy, look at me. I need you to give George a chance, okay? You're not being disloyal to Dad by liking George. He doesn't want to be anything but your friend, and then... and maybe one day something more. Nobody will ever replace your dad, honey.
For you too.
Looking troubled, George walks away. Kathy hangs clothes in the closet. George is on the bed.
How's Billy?
He'll be fine.
Ooh, first call.
No.
Lutz Residence, how may I help you?
Can I talk to my daughter, please?
Yeah, Trish, she's right here. Okay. Your mother's gotta stop gushing over me. Seriously, it's embarrassing now.
He gets up. She lies down with the phone.
Hey, Ma. No, we're all moved in.
He looks at the metal grill and blows on his hands.
Yeah, Ma.
You cold?
No, Ma.
She shakes her head.
Yeah.
He opens the basement door and switches on the light, rubbing his arm. He goes down the steps. He opens the boiler door. Kneeling, he throws wood onto the fire. He looks around nervously. He suddenly looks over his shoulder. He notices the radio clock reading 3:15. He stands up and checks the clock isn't plugged in. He looks up and places his hand on a grill. A shaft goes up through the house. Looking relieved, he shuts the boiler and leaves. The boiler flares up. George stirs in bed. Kathy touches his lips, then slowly unties her nightdress and takes it off. She climbs into bed. They embrace. She rolls over on top of him. The clock says 3:15. She kisses him, then straddles him and sits up, breathing heavily. George leans back, eyes shut. Kathy places her palm on the mirror over the headboard. There is a reflection of a little girl hanging from a noose. Her tongue lolls out. Her toes are balancing on the end of the bed. Only George sees her.
What is it, baby?
Nothing.
Are you okay, baby?
No. I don't feel well.
He rubs his eyes, grimacing. It's daytime. Dead leaves blow across the lawn. A swing moves in the wind. Wind chimes sway. Kathy and the boys are putting up a washing line. George sits on the end of the bed.
Honey, I'm going to make you some tea.
Kathy, carrying a washing basket, goes upstairs following the sound of voices. She walks past the dead child on a chair.
Chelsea?
Hey, Mommy.
Hi, hon. Who are you talking to?
The girl who lives in my closet.
Oh, yeah? And what's her name?
Jody.
You know, there are plenty of other little girls to play with in town, too.
I know, but Jody says they're all mean.
Is that Jody?
A man in a hat on her Etch-a-Sketch. Chelsea looks over at Jody, who puts a finger to her lips.
No, that's someone else.
Who?
I'm not supposed to say who. She says it's an a-hole.
You're not allowed to say that word.
Chelsea shakes her Etch-a-Sketch and looks over at the chair. Kathy looks but sees nothing. George splits logs. Michael runs over with a metal frame round his head.
Where'd you find that?
Harry and I found it.
Where?
In the basement.
Not the basement. My office. You listen to me. You don't go down there. Understand?
Michael nods. Kathy pulls up. Billy watches from inside.
Guys, would you help me with the groceries?
Go on. Drop him up.
Frowning, George pulls Michael to his chest and hugs him.
I'm sorry. Come on.
George looks over at Kathy as she goes indoors, then examines the metal collar.
How are you feeling?
Good. Good. Mm-hmm.
I found a babysitter off a board at the grocery store.
Oh, Billy will love that.
Well, how about we call it the young adult sitter? Where's Chelsea? Where's Chelsea?
George shrugs helplessly. They go into the front garden. They start to run down to the boathouse. Harry, the dog, barks at the boathouse door. Chelsea stands in the boat holding a balloon.
Chelsea? Hey, give me your hand.
Give me your hand, sweetie.
Chelsea, go to George.
Come on, sweetie. Hey, give me your hand!
She turns. He lifts her out.
What were you thinking? You could have fallen in the water.
Georgie wanted to see the boat.
Somebody should have been watching you.
Kathy looks pointedly at George and carries Chelsea out, still carrying her balloon. George and the dog leave the boathouse. George padlocks the door. He looks up at the house with an apprehensive expression and puts the padlock keys in his jacket pocket. It's windy and overcast. It's sunset. The boathouse is silhouetted against the lake. Clouds race against the sky. The dark hallway of the house. Michael sits up in bed. His toy soldiers wobble and fall off the shelf. Michael looks over at Billy, who is asleep in bed. He gets up.
Gotta go pee.
He looks up at a metal grill in the wall. He tiptoes over to the door and looks out into the corridor. He walks down the polished wood floor of the corridor. He pauses by a window and looks out at the boat shed. The doors are swinging open. He runs to the bathroom, reaching up to switch on the light. He stands with his hands over his crotch, looking nervously at the open door. He goes over to the lavatory, still staring at the door. He finishes urinating and hitches up his pajama trousers and goes to the basin, still staring at the door. He turns on both taps and looks at the spout, but no water comes out. Behind him, a terrifying human face, wispy hair, white eyes, and blood pouring from the mouth. Blood drips from the tap. Michael runs back to his room, jumps into bed, and pulls the covers over his head. Downstairs, all the windows fly open. The dining room chairs move. George sits bolt upright in bed and gets up. Bare-chested, in pajama trousers, he goes to the boy's bedroom. Blood oozes from the light switch. He opens the bedroom door. He sees himself standing over the boy's beds with a rifle, blood spattered on the wall. He sits up in bed. He'd been dreaming. He gets out of bed. The clock says 3:15. He goes over to the window and looks down at the boat shed. The doors are banging in the wind. Chelsea's red balloon escapes through the doors.
Chelsea.
Barefoot, he runs outside, down the steps, to the shed, and goes in. Harry, the dog, is inside, barking at the water. George looks at the water beside his motorboat. Bubbles surface. He dives in and looks around underwater. He comes up to the surface and climbs out and runs back up the steps and kneels down by the dog.
Harry. Seriously, you trying to kill me?
George looks up to Chelsea's bedroom window and sees the face of the dead girl, Jodie. He stands up. At another window is Chelsea with Jodie behind her. He runs in and up to Chelsea's bedroom. It's dark, she's in bed. Breathing heavily, he opens Chelsea's cupboard and turns on the light. Above him, Jodie is suspended, struggling from the ceiling by two clawed hands. George picks up a black and white teddy. He kneels by Chelsea's bed and puts the teddy in beside her and strokes her forehead. It's morning. Kathy stirs in bed, reaching out for George. He's not there. She sits up. George is in the basement with Harry, who's digging.
Come on, get away from there. Hey, that's enough.
Hey!
George stares at the pile of dirt at the base of a wooden partition. Kathy comes down the basement steps.
George? What are you doing down here?
It's the only place that's warm in this damn house. Somebody keeps opening the windows.
Kathy looks at the dirt.
What is that?
You tell me.
Why don't you come back to bed?
No, I can't sleep.
Sorry, baby.
Don't talk to me like I'm one of your kids, okay?
What?
A goddamn dog woke me up. Billy's dog. Found him in the boathouse.
But you locked it.
And guess what I found in Billy's room?
He holds up the keys. Day 15. George and Billy are in the truck.
You ready to talk about those keys? There's not a lot in this world can't be solved with an apology, Billy.
Not apologizing for something I didn't do, George.
George smiles and shrugs. They arrive back at the house, the truck laden with logs.
Get to work, buddy.
George ruffles Billy's hair.
Get to work, buddy.
From the kitchen window, Kathy watches Billy carry logs. On the fridge door, magnetic letters move and form the words catch 'em and kill 'em. A black shadow shoots across the room. Kathy turns, looking over her shoulder at a shadow in the mirror. She notices the words on the fridge door.
George? George, you down there?
She looks down the basement steps.
George?
She goes back into the kitchen.
What? What's the matter?
Did you do that thing with the magnets?
George looks at the fridge door. The letters are scrambled.
Nothing. Just seeing things, I guess.
George smiles uncertainly. Kathy looks at him suspiciously. It's night time. All the house lights are on. George, in a leather jacket, sits in an armchair staring ahead. He looks up and stands as Kathy comes in wearing a pretty dress.
Look hideous.
Oh, you're rather repulsive yourself, Mr. Lutz. Yeah. Where's the babysitter?
Babysitter? Told you guys, I don't need a babysitter. I'm old enough.
Baby,
no.
I know you can handle it.
I'm not letting her watch us. She's not coming in. I won't let her. I won't. She's not coming in.
Billy, listen to me.
I told you.
You in the house.
I can't believe you hired a babysitter. I told you I was a babysitter.
Hi.
I'm Lisa, the babysitter.
Great.
Can I take your coat?
She is very pretty and wears a crop top with lots of exposed midriff.
Hi.
Billy stares transfixed.
I'm Billy.
George leans over Billy, who is still gawping at Lisa in her skimpy outfit.
You sure you don't want a babysitter?
Would you like me to show you around?
No, it's okay. I know it already. I used to sit for the DeFeos.
Kathy, worried, looks at George.
Kind of freaky being back here.
I'm Billy.
Yeah, I got you the first time.
Good night, baby.
Kathy and George leave. They are seated in an Italian restaurant, holding hands across the table.
This is just what we needed, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You feeling all right?
You know what? I feel better. I think I just needed to get out of the house. Come on, drink up.
You're trying to get me drunk, Mr. Lutz.
Oh, that's the appeal of marriage, hon. Hopefully I won't have to.
The babysitter is in the bathroom smoking drugs in a bubble pipe.
Be right out.
She tries to wave away the smoke and puts the pipe in her bag, stands up and smooths her hair. She opens the door. Billy is holding a bowl of popcorn.
Hungry?
Kid, you read my mind. The kids, they're going through a tough time. I guess they're just adjusting to everything.
Yeah, we all are.
Do you feel different?
What do you mean?
About us. About me.
She looks worried.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I feel like for the first time in my life, I'm sure about something. And that's you.
She smiles.
And I'm gonna spend the rest of my life making you happy.
Oh boy, you know how to turn on that Lutz charm.
They lean across the table and kiss. Lisa is curling the tip of her tongue. There is a poster of the rock group Kiss on the wall.
Some people say his tongue is fake. I think it's all him.
Oh, it's a pinball arcade.
Cool. So do you French?
Do I what?
Kissing, tongues.
No.
Did your family know the DeFeos?
The who?
The family that lived here before you.
No, we just moved here.
Well, you know what happened to them, don't you?
No.
I really shouldn't be telling you this. Your parents are gonna be pissed.
Billy backs away nervously.
It's okay.
Michael and Chelsea are upstairs playing the game Operation.
Stop! That's not how you play! I can't hear you! Pop it! Let me try! You're killing him.
So this whack job, Ronnie, the guy that lived here, people in this town say he heard voices telling him to do it. The guy was a nut. I mean, first he thinks his dog's out to get him, so he kills it. A few days later, he thinks his family's a bunch of demons. So you know what he did? Wasted them.
How did he do it? Do what?
Oh, you are way too young to hear this. So cover your ears. And don't listen. A rifle. Back, 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 back! He went room to room, splattering their heads as they slept. His brothers in this very room. Right here. In these beds.
The metal grill. A crystal chandelier quivers.
It's kind of gross you guys still sleep in here.
She stretches out on the bed.
Actually, it's fucking sick.
Yeah.
I'm totally freaking you out, kid. I suck at babysitting.
Kathy and George leave the restaurant. Lisa goes into Chelsea's room.
This was the little rat's room. Jody's. You know, they found her in there.
She points to the cupboard.
Jody says you're a bad babysitter.
Yeah? Well, Jody's, what's the word? Dead?
It's not.
That little shit got me fired.
Billy looks at the cupboard.
You're ready to go in there.
You give me your Kiss poster if I do it?
Okay.
Okay.
Lisa goes into the cupboard.
I'm going to make her mad.
The teddy is on the floor. The cupboard door slams shut.
Come on, guys. Ha ha, guys, this isn't funny. Billy, Michael! It's not opening! I can't open it! Unlock the fucking door!
There's no lock on the door!
This isn't funny, let me the fuck out! Billy! Michael! Let me out! Let me out of here!
Blood drips from the light.
What's going on?
Hi, Lisa.
Jody is in the cupboard.
Look what Ronnie did.
She has a bullet hole in her head. She grabs Lisa's finger and forces it into the hole, smiling. Lisa is thrown back against the door. Written in blood on the wall is "Kill 'em." Jody, dead, is slumped against the wall. The lights flash. Water bursts through the ceiling. Lisa claws at the door.
Help me! Let me out!
An ambulance. Lisa is outside on a stretcher, her hands bound and quivering. Kathy leans over her.
I saw Jody. Who's Jody?
Kathy looks up at Chelsea, who stares down from her bedroom window.
It's one thing to pull a prank.
We didn't pull a prank.
It's another one to hurt someone.
We didn't hurt anybody. It was this house.
Shut up!
George.
I got this under control.
You don't have you under control. What you guys did was wrong.
Ah, stop it, Kathy. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying doesn't work. From now on, I'm doing the disciplining around here. End of story.
This house is bad, Mommy.
Michael, honey.
There's no bad houses. There's just bad people.
Why didn't you tell us about the people who died here? Where'd you hear that? The babysitter told me the two little boys died in our room.
Damn, babysitter's an idiot.
Okay, you guys, get to bed. We'll deal with this in the morning. Come on. No, I'm not sleeping in that room. It's gross.
Me neither.
Wipe that stupid look off your face and go to bed.
Kathy looks at George. Michael is tearful.
Run.
The boys go upstairs. Kathy looks accusingly at George and follows them. George paces the hall. Kathy stands in Chelsea's bedroom doorway. She stirs in bed.
Why are they yelling, Mommy?
It's nothing. It's over now, baby. I need you to tell me what happened with Lisa, honey.
Lisa was being mean to Jody. So Jody hurt her. It's okay, Mommy. Jody won't hurt you. She thinks you're a good mommy. But the man who lives here, she says he's bad. She wants him to go away. He makes her do bad things.
Chelsea stares at her mother. George is splitting logs.
Move it. From there to there.
Go!
Looking worried, Billy carries the logs.
And Billy, don't come in until you're finished.
Chelsea and Kathy watch George from different windows. Nighttime. Billy is stacking logs onto a huge pile accompanied by his dog. Wearily, he leans on the log pile and looks up at the house. George, Kathy, Michael, and Chelsea are seated at the dining room table, eating.
What?
Is this discipline or torture?
Thought it was meatloaf.
When the body suffers, the spirit flowers. That's what my dad taught me. His dad's not around to teach him that now, is he?
George is in the basement, nailing plasterboard to the walls. He pauses by the ventilation shaft. George looks over at the dirt on the floor by the wooden panelling. He reaches out and places his palm on the wall. A door opens. George walks into a damp, dark chamber. Blood runs down a gully in the floor. It's dripping from an altar. A man lies face down on the altar, his back flayed. George pulls back his head. It is himself.
Kill them!
George is vomiting in the toilet. The hot tap is running in the basin. George goes over to it. He cleans the misted up mirror and scoops water into his mouth and spits. He turns away and removes his shirt. Water bubbles in the basin. The tap drips. George lowers himself into the bath, looking unwell. He slides down into the water, eyes closed. A pair of arms wrap themselves around George and drag him under the water. The bath overflows. He struggles. A hand covers his mouth. The bath fills with blood. A hole is ripped in his flesh. He's pulled up by Kathy.
Mom!
George is at the doctor's.
You use narcotics, Mr. Lutz?
No, but after this week, I'm going to give it some serious thought.
Ow.
Suffer from headaches, nausea?
Actually, I feel great. Now. Weird as that may sound.
Well, there's no sign of a concussion. No sign of any bruising at all. I want you to give Dr. Stone a call.
Wait. This is a psychiatrist. Do I look nuts to you?
I'm not trying to offend you here. I'm just trying to help you figure out the problem.
They are driving home.
I feel like it's my fault, George.
Oh, Cass.
I was the one who wanted this place. I put too much pressure on
Hey, me. Hey, this is the life that I want too, okay? Look, we got the old American dream here. Okay, there's no way in hell that I'm letting that get away now.
We love you, George.
Billy pours cereal into a bowl.
Billy, can I get my teddy? She's real hungry.
Okay, go. Hurry up. Mom finds out I'll let you out of my sight, she's gonna kill me.
George and Kathy pull up outside the house and get out of the truck. As George walks towards the front door, Chelsea's teddy falls at his feet. He retrieves it and looks up.
Hi, Mommy! Look at me, Mommy! Hi, Mommy!
Chelsea is standing on the edge of the roof of the house.
Hi, Mommy! Oh my God! Chelsea!
Chelsea, don't move! Just sit down!
Chelsea!
Kathy runs in. George tears off his jacket and pulls a ladder off the truck. Chelsea's pink sneakers turn. Kathy races upstairs. Chelsea claps. George puts the ladder up. Kathy runs into Chelsea's room.
Chelsea!
Kathy climbs out of the window onto the roof.
Chelsea!
God damn it! Chelsea! Which way? Which way did it go?
Kathy is scaling the sloping roof. She reaches the top and stands by the chimney. Chelsea is walking along the ridge.
Chelsea!
George's ladder falls away as he clings on. Chelsea walks along to the end of the roof ridge. Kathy starts to follow, inching along.
What are you doing up here?
Go with Jody, Mommy.
Come to Mommy. No!
Chelsea jumps. Kathy grabs her arm.
John!
Hang on!
Mommy!
Kathy slides down the roof.
John! It's not, I'm slipping!
George reaches up and grabs Chelsea as Kathy loses her grip.
Why would you do that?
Sorry, I'm sorry.
You can't do that to Mommy.
Jody wanted to show me something.
There is no Jody, okay?
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't. You have to stop this.
But he's real. Jody's real.
She is not real.
Liar! I've seen her. She was gonna show me Daddy. I just want to see Daddy. Jody promised to take me to Daddy. She says I can stay here so we can play together forever and ever.
Do you miss your Daddy?
Yeah.
You miss your Daddy a lot?
Yes.
I know you miss your Daddy, baby. I can see him because he's in heaven. He's with the angels. He's with the angels.
Kathy hugs Chelsea tearfully, watched by George holding the teddy.
I just got so scared.
Billy and Michael are in the garden watching nervously.
What's the matter with you people?
Kathy looks over at George. He walks away, shaking his head, as Kathy holds Chelsea.
Wacko family.
George takes some clothes out of the closet and picks up his clock. He walks out of the bedroom and down into the basement. He moves an old sofa and spreads a rug over it. He puts wood into the stove. A priest is raking leaves onto a bonfire outside his church.
Father Calloway? Father. Kathy Lutz.
Hello.
Do you have a moment?
They sit on a bench.
It's my family. We've changed. It's like we've grown apart.
I don't think I understand.
There's something evil in my house.
The priest frowns.
I know it sounds crazy, I know that. I would think the same. I just don't know where else to go.
He sighs and shakes his head.
There was a family. Lived here some time ago. They had a similar problem.
The DeFeos.
You knew them?
I'm living in their house.
Billy picks up a log, looking anxious.
Now hold it steady. If you get shaky, I get shaky.
Billy crouches, holding the log as George raises his axe and brings it crashing down. Billy recoils. Billy looks tearful.
What, are you crying? Why are you crying? That wasn't so bad. Pick up another log. Hurry up, pick up another log. Hurry up! Put your hands up there. Put your hands up there. Put your...
George grabs his face.
We're friends. We're having fun, right?
Billy holds the log, sobbing. George nods and brings down the axe. It's night time. George is on the sofa in the basement with a blanket round his shoulders, watching the film they made on moving day projected onto the wall. He's smiling and laughing. He watches Kathy dancing and coughs. Billy's smiling face on the film turns hollow-eyed and bloody, the mouth gaping, then returns to normal. George frowns and rewinds the film frame by frame. It happens again. Then the film melts. George looks up, red-eyed, bewildered. Kathy and Chelsea are in bed together, snuggled up. The clock turns to 3:15. The black teddy lies next to it. George's eyes suddenly open. The basement door opens. George sits up. He leaves the basement and goes into the sitting room. The windows are open, the curtains billow. Rubbing his eyes, George goes into the hall. The front door is open. He goes out through the porch into the garden. He picks up the axe. He goes down the wooden walkway to the boat shed, dragging the axe beside him. The boat shed outside light is on, and the doors are banging in the wind. Ashen-faced, he stands watching the doors. He switches on the lights inside. They flicker and go out. He tiptoes in, holding the axe, looking around nervously. He glimpses a figure in the shadows. He walks forward, craning his neck. He steps forward, gripping the axe, and crouches, looking into a dark corner. A figure rushes out at him. He swings the axe. Blood spatters up the wall. The dog lies on the ground, covered in blood. George looks down with an anguished expression. He drops the axe and kneels over the dog. He picks up its blood-stained collar. He is on his knees, scrubbing the boathouse floor. It's morning. George sits at the kitchen table, head bowed. He looks down at his shaking hands. The palms are lined and wrinkled. Kathy comes in.
George. I think there's something seriously wrong here. Something's not right.
What's not right?
She sits beside him.
We need to get out of here. Just go. Just back up and go.
No, no, no. You can't run away from your problems, Kat.
Please, let's go, George. Somewhere. Anywhere.
You hear that? You hear that squeak? I gotta fix that squeak. Because, you know, these houses, they're big. Projects, Kathy, you can't just walk away from it.
He grips her hand, squeezing it. She pulls away.
How did you get so fucking stupid?
What?
Everything we have is in this house. Everything.
I'm not worried about our goddamn money.
Oh, our money.
George, we're losing each other. We stay here, we'll have a house for the family, only there won't be a family!
It's always so cold in here.
Would you like to stop alone and pay attention to me?
I'm not going anywhere, and neither are you, so shut up about that! Just shut up! God damn it! You're the one who wanted this godforsaken house, well now you got it!
Mom!
Home sweet home.
He knocks the letters off the fridge door.
What is it, sweetie?
We can't find Harry anywhere. He's gone.
Oh, I'll be looking a sec, sweetie.
You seen Harry, George?
No, I haven't, Billy. Maybe he ran away.
Harry never runs away, George.
What's the matter with you, William?
Get out of here now! Now! Fine. Come on, Michael.
Billy and Michael leave the kitchen. George stares out of the window at the boathouse. Kathy leaves the kitchen. The priest pulls up outside. He walks up to the house carrying a black bag. He pauses in front of the door and makes a sign of the cross. George is using a power tool to screw the porch windows shut. He looks over at the door.
Hello?
Is your mommy home?
Hold on a second. Mommy, there's somebody at the door!
Who is it, honey? Come in, Father.
He walks in and stares at the teddy Chelsea is holding. It has an eye missing.
Now, this is going to sound strange, but you know the doll with one eye that your daughter is holding? Well, that belonged to the little girl who lived here before you.
Yes, it was left here.
No, Mrs. Lutz, it was not left here.
Father, what exactly are you trying to tell me?
I knew the DeFeos very well. I presided over their funeral. Jody DeFeo was buried with that doll.
Back in the house, the priest opens his black bag and takes out his stole.
Oh, Heavenly Father. Almighty God.
He kisses it and puts it round his neck.
We ask you to bless and sanctify this house.
A fly climbs the curtain.
Bless all who live here, to bring them the abundance of all their fruits.
He sprinkles holy water. It burns into the wood floor like acid. The priest looks up at the metal grill. A figure runs past the mirror. The door shuts. The handle has a cross on it. It turns upside down. The priest looks at the door, then up at the grill. He drags a table over and climbs up on it. He looks through the grill. A black cloud of flies swarms out, knocking him backwards off the table. The flies are all over his face. He struggles to his feet. The door flies open. He runs to his car.
Father! Father! Yes.
Kathy bangs on the car window. The priest speeds off. Kathy turns and bumps into George.
It's okay. I'm here.
He hugs her, looking malevolent. It's night time. The sitting room window flies open, curtains billow. Light falls on a carved wood gargoyle. The chandelier sways. The front door is wide open. There is a figure in the garden. The boat shed outside light is on. The doors bang. George is on the sofa in the basement, his hands over his head.
Oh, God damn it, Harry!
George looks up at the TV as it switches on. There is a diagram with a cross and an Indian's head in the middle. George trots down the steps to the boat shed. He pauses, looking at the shed, then up at the house. The boathouse door swings open and shut. George grimaces and puts his hand on his head. He looks up at the black quarter-light windows of the house. He leans on the railings. He falls over onto his side, retching. Kathy stands in the porch, looking down at George. Day 28. Morning. Kathy is in bed, alone. She sits up. Holding his stomach, George lies on the sofa, retching. Kathy gets up. She hammers on the door of the public library.
We don't open for a few more minutes.
In the library, Kathy sits at a screen, looking at newspaper headlines about the DeFeo murders. A portrait of the accused. Voices told him to do it.
Voices told him to do it.
DeFeo's son murders family after 28 days.
You just moved into the basement. 28 days later, he killed them all.
A headline, he was possessed. A photo of the bearded DeFeo's son. Haunted. A photo of a book with Catchem and Killam scrawled across the pages. She puts her hand to her mouth in horror. Frowning, George stares at the dirt on the floor in the basement where the dog had been digging. He uses a crowbar to smash through the panelling. He grips the wood to pull it out. His hands are covered in sticky cobwebs. He peers into the hole. He recoils. There are maggots on the other side of the partition. In the library, Kathy pulls out a drawer full of index cards.
Reverend Jeremiah Ketchum.
She slams down a large leather-bound book and starts thumbing through it. She looks at a drawing of the house under the heading, The Sanctuary.
He started a mission for Indians.
Back at the house, George holds a sledgehammer as he stares at a wall he's exposed behind the panelling. He knocks through a hole. Kathy is reading about a torture device, the metal collar Michael found. George is squeezing through the hole in the wall, carrying a torch. The floor is wet. He swings the beam around. There is a cell with straw on the floor. A face appears at the bars, spewing blood. Kathy sees the face in the book under the heading Diabolic Possession.
He slaughtered them all.
She looks at a drawing of a man suspended by hooks through his chest. George sees the figure in a torture chamber.
Over 20 bodies were found in the lake.
George shines his torch onto a chained, crouching figure in another cell. The figure turns. It has wispy hair and white eyes. George recoils in horror and drops the torch. A face appears in an iron mask. Kathy looks at a drawing of a doorway with light around it. George walks towards the doorway. Kathy sobs as she looks at a drawing of a sinister cloaked man, Reverend Jeremiah Ketchum, and the random words, Ketchum's body, basement, suicide. Kathy is driving, anxiously rubbing her face. George walks further into the chamber. A door opens. He sees the back of a figure in a hat and a long coat. Jeremiah Ketchum.
Father.
Kathy visits the priest.
Why did you run away from our house?
George steps forward.
Why did you abandon us?
Your house frightens me, Mrs. Lutz.
A hand picks up a knife.
Read about this man. Ketchum. Tortured Indians on my land, on my basement.
Ketchum turns to face George.
I read about how he slit his throat so that his presence would live forever. Do you believe this could be true?
Ronnie DeFeo came to me weeks before the murders. He spoke about hearing voices and seeing things in the house. I didn't believe him until yesterday. Let's get you and your family out of that house. Right now.
Ketchum has slit his throat and covered George in blood. George is asleep. He wakes and gets up to answer the phone.
Hello?
George, I'm speaking to Papa Calloway. Listen, you gotta get you and the kids out of the house. George
pulls the phone off the wall. Kathy is driving home in the dark through a storm. Lightning flashes on the house. She runs in.
Billy! Michael! Where's George? He's in the boathouse!
She runs through the rain to the boathouse. George is inside on his boat, shining his torch on the water. He sees something and turns on the engine. Kathy stands in the doorway.
George, we have to get out of here now. George!
He shines the torch in her face. Blinded, she topples into the water. Her hair becomes caught in the propeller. George runs to the back of the boat and shines his torch in her face. It becomes Jody's. He presses the trim-up switch. Kathy struggles to free her hair. Her face keeps going under the water. George watches her and frowns. He wipes his nose with the back of his hand. He switches the propeller on. Her hair unwinds. She surfaces, gasping. He stretches out his hand to her. She ignores it and climbs out onto the floor of the shed on her hands and knees.
Are you fucking crazy, George? Have you lost your mind? You tried to kill me!
George frowns, looking perplexed. Chelsea is in the basement.
Chelsea!
Mommy, Mommy! I'm down here, Mommy!
Chelsea, honey, what are you doing down here?
She looks over at four homemade coffins with their names on. Kathy gasps in horror, backs out, and collides with George.
Help! Help!
George picks up Chelsea, who looks terrified.
I think she misses her daddy.
He squeezes her face.
Don't you?
Give me back my daughter.
He kisses Chelsea and throws her at Kathy.
I want to talk to you. Wait.
I want to talk to you!
Hey!
Holding a rifle, George mounts the basement steps. Kathy and the kids slide a desk up against the door. Billy pushes it against George as Kathy runs to the front door with Chelsea and Michael. The door slams shut. The chandelier sways. Billy pushes against George, then runs after Kathy. George forces his way through the door. Kathy and the kids run to the back door. It slams shut. The windows close and lock themselves. Kathy turns and they run back into the hall. George reaches out and grabs Kathy by the neck and slams her up against the wall. Billy rushes forward and pummels George's back. George lashes out at Billy with his elbows. The window slams shut and screws tighten.
You're the one
that won't open!
Chelsea runs upstairs.
Chelsea!
Kathy and the boys follow. Carrying a rifle, George pauses at the bottom of the stairs, then goes up. Lightning flashes. He breaks the glass of a picture with the rifle.
Hurry!
Kathy and the children run up to the top floor. Cocking his rifle, George follows. He stands outside Chelsea's bedroom door. He shoots through it. The door flies open. He looks around. The window is open. Outside in the pouring rain and flashing lightning, Kathy and the children climb up the roof. George watches. He looks up and shoots through the ceiling. A slate flies off near Kathy. She and the children reach the roof ridge. George climbs out. Billy pauses on the ridge and looks down at George.
Billy!
Kathy and the other two children slide down the other side. Chelsea steps on a broken grill. Billy pulls off a metal rod. As George heaves himself up to the ridge, Billy slams the rod across his face. He tumbles down the roof. The rifle flies down. George lands in the mud. Kathy tries another window. Billy reaches the grill. A man in a hat appears at the window. Kathy leaps back. George, lying on the ground, his face covered in mud, opens an eye. Kathy and the kids find a fire escape ladder on the side of the house. George moves his head. As they climb down, George gets up and walks over to the axe.
Jump, baby!
Kathy catches Chelsea. George picks up the axe.
Honey, come on! Come on! Come on,
no, Michael, it's okay. Mommy, no!
Hurry, baby! Come on, Michael! Come on, Michael! Come on, hurry out of here!
Come here! Come here!
George grabs Billy.
Leave him alone!
George sees an horrific face on Billy and raises the axe over him.
Don't hurt him! Back the fuck up!
Kathy points the gun at the back of George's neck. He takes the muzzle in his hand and puts it on his forehead, staring at her through the driving rain. Kathy moves the gun away. George turns to Billy, who looks terrified. He raises the axe to him. Kathy smashes the rifle butt into George's head. He falls to his knees, then over into the mud. He has a flashback to the family movie. He turns his head. Kathy puts her hand over her mouth. She touches his leg, then runs off with the kids.
Hurry! Let's grab some rope!
He sits up. She is collecting some washing line. George hits her in the stomach with the axe. She staggers and looks down at the axe embedded in her stomach. She sinks to her knees. George is still on his back in the mud. He was dreaming.
Kill me! You kill me or I'll kill you!
Nobody's dying today.
Kathy brings the rifle butt down into his head, knocking him out. Lightning flashes on the house and the High Hopes sign. Kathy and the kids drag George, who is bound and tied on his back, to the boathouse. Lifts his head. He has flashbacks of all the horrific scenes from the house, including Jody, blood on the wall, the torture chamber, and Jeremiah Ketchum. He fits uncontrollably, then lies back, looking up, blood over one eye.
Why are we taking him? Let's just leave him here.
I can't explain it to you right now. We just have to get him away from the house.
They roll him over onto the boat. Kathy starts up the engine and drives the boat out of the shed and speeds into the middle of the lake. It is dawn. The sky is clear. The storm is over. She looks back at George, slumped unconscious on the seat. She turns off the engine. Kathy and the kids stare at George. He starts to come round and lifts his head. They all look apprehensive. The house nestles in the trees on the distant shore. Kathy stares at it. George looks at the family. The children frown and shiver.
Don't even look at it, Kathy. Let's get out of here.
Kathy pats Billy's knee and turns to face the wheel. George breathes heavily. Billy watches him. They speed across the lake in the boat. After 28 days, the Lutz family fled Amityville. They never returned for their personal possessions. The house on the lake shore. Jody stands at the foot of the stairs, a bullet hole in her forehead. The numbers on the clock move. The chairs slide, the desk in the hall moves, screws fall out of the windows, fridge magnets reattach themselves, windows lock, the clock says 3:15, the cross on the door handle turns, a tear rolls down Jody's cheek, she stands at the bottom of the stairs. Two hands appear through the floor and drag her down through it, the teddy is all that remains. The end.